Hello, everybody. This is a project report, project done by a large group of people. We are working at the linguistic annotation of language resources. We build corpora and lexicons, which are meant to serve as gold standard data for machine learning. We take texts and we enrich it with several types of linguistic information in a way which is formalized enough to be comprehensible for computers. When the computer has been fed enough our manually annotated data, it's supposed to be able to learn some basic patterns in the given language and should be able to process a text, an unknown text, in the same way as us human annotators would. There are certainly many groups worldwide working with the same topic, but our unique contribution to the field is that our annotation is implementing the linguistic theory of the functional generative description. The functional generative description is a theoretical framework for formal language description, which has been developed in Prague since the 60s, and it draws on the tradition of the Prague school. The functional generative description divides language into three layers or levels, which correspond to our annotation layers. So the lowest one is morphology, then the next one is the surface syntax layer, called analytical layer in FGD, and the topmost one and the most important one specific to the FGD is underlying syntax or tecto-grammatical layer. It's a transition between syntax and semantics. I'll try and give you a very brief overview of the main features of the tecto-grammatical representation. If we have a made-up sentence, and its analytical, which means surface syntax representation, and its tectogrammatical representation. The left one is the analytical, the right one is the tectogrammatical. You can see that both representations take sentences as the basic semantic units, and that they both display syntactic dependencies. The analytical layer displays all words as nodes with edges in between them. But the tectogrammatical layer only displays autosemantic words. It doesn't mean that the information gets lost, but it's been transferred into a set of attributes and their values. If we have the sentence, Peter had been playing the guitar, and its tectogrammatical representation, we only see the autosemantic words, but for instance, the node play keeps or all autosemantic links keep nodes keeps keep links to the lower layer. So play is interlinked with playing, had, and been, and guitar is interlinked with guitar and the definite article. So it keeps links. Then the nodes have quite a complex structure of attributes and their values. One of the basic attributes is the tectogrammatical lemma each node has. It's mostly the basic form of the given autosemantic word. But sometimes on the tectogrammatical layer, we have to insert artificial nodes which have no correspondence on the surface. So they get another type of tectogrammatical lemma. Then each node has a semantic label. We call the semantic label labels functors. The functor describes the semantic relation of a given node to its parent node. So actually, it's more a description of the edge between the two nodes. And there are about 70 functors in FGD, and they mostly concern time, space, manner, causation, paratactic relations between sentence clauses, and so on. Many functors have additional attributes, subfunctors, which are more fine-grained semantic or cognitive categories. For instance, we have one functor for comparison, and the comparison functor has three subfunctors saying that the two things you are comparing are either similar in some respect or that they have a thing they differ, or that one thing is a norm for the other thing. So this is what is generally displayed in the subfunctors. And then we have grammar teams. Grammar teams are tectogrammatical correlates of morphological categories. In the Czech data, we have, for instance, a politeness grammar team. In Czech, when you use address someone politely, you use the second person plural. So when the context suggests that a second person plural addresses a single person, this the verb in the sentence would get the positive value of the politeness grammar team. Then the FGD, for FGD, it's very important to capture valency. Not only verbs, but also nouns and adjectives and sometimes types of adverbs have valency, which is captured by valency lexicons in form of valency frames. So in the annotation, basically each verb and the other parts of speech have to be associated to frames in the valency lexicon, which is interlinked with the data. Besides, and I'll show you a better example. This is a real example from the pantry bank, where you can see the syntactic dependency, the functors. If you look at the top predicate B, it was converted from was, negotiator was in Washington. The B predicate has been assigned. Associated with a valency frame of to be in the sense to be located somewhere, so it has to have an actor, which is the car bio with attributes, and a location. You see a nice example of coordination in the location, Washington and New York. And then we have free modifications, which are not part of the valency lexicon anymore. We have a temporal modification there, last week, time when, and we have a nice purpose clause there. If you look at the predicate in the purpose clause, meet, according to the valency, you have two inner participants there. Two arguments. Someone has to meet someone. The patient was present on the surface, but we had to add an actor. But we also have to show that the actor is not allowed to appear physically on the surface. And this is the case where we use a substitutional tectogrammatical lemma. This lemma says here there's grammatical coreference somewhere in the text, and there would be in the coreference annotation there would be an arrow from the actor to car bio. I'm sorry not to have any nice example for topic focus articulation. So this is what I was talking about is the ideal state of annotation, which has been reached in one language source we have, and that's the Czech data, Prague dependency tree bank, which is a corpus of about 2 million words, out of which 800,000 words have been manually annotated on the tectogrammatical layer. It's interlinked with the PDT VALEX, a valency lexicon of verbs, nouns, and adjectives. And then we have another resource which is not completed yet. That's the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank. It's the parallel corpus Jan Hajic was talking about. And its first version was released some years ago by the LDC, but it only includes automatic A and T layer annotation. And now I'm coming to the goal of our project. We want to build the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank number 2, which is going to consist of about 50,000 sentences, parallel sentences, tectogrammatically annotated manually. The English counterpart is the Penn Tree Bank Wall Street Journal section, which has been converted into the PDT-like shape on the A layer, because the original tree bank only provides surface syntax information, which corresponds to our A layer, and the tectogrammatical layer has been produced out of the A layer. Now we are launching the manual annotation of the automatically pre-processed tectogrammatical trees in English. Another group is busy with doing the same for the Czech counterpart. The entire Penn tree bank has been translated into Czech, so it can be annotated. As the annotation is quite complex, it would be very demanding for the annotators to do everything at once, to keep in mind all the attributes they have to treat. That's why we divided the annotation into stages. And at the first stage, we are only concerned with things, with the very basic things, like dependencies. We definitely want to have the tree structure right. We check and correct links to the analytical layer. We check T-lemmas, and we assign the correct functors. And we assign valency frames to verb uses in the data, because we have a verb valency lexicon already. So far, we have ignored the valency of other parts of speech, because we have no valency lexicons yet. We are not looking at coreference nor topic focus articulation, and officially we don't do anything with subfunctors and grammar teams, though they are, of course, latently present in all our discussions of functors. In January, we had a PIR meeting where I was talking about the goals for this year. So we wanted to create a valency lexicon of verbs, which we would acquire by conversion of the PropBank lexicon. We wanted to have the corpus prepared. I have to explain, the first version of the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank had a different format than we would like to use. It was the old PDT format, which is not used anymore in the PDT number 2, and we definitely want to keep the data up to date. And we wanted to get started with the annotation of the Prague English Dependency Tree Bank, the converted Penn Tree Bank. So let's see what the outcome is in the beginning of December. Engvalex, our converted PropBank lexicon. We had to convert PropBank automatically, and then we were correcting it. So the automatic conversion went pretty well, but I would talk about manual corrections with some reservations. Many of you probably know, are familiar with PropBank, that PropBank divides word senses into sort of classes. Each verb sense has a sort of definition, and the definitions are shared by many verb senses. The annotators of PropBank were very careful to do this consistently, and we also wanted to keep this consistency in our conversion. That's why we regrouped the entries of Engvalex according to these role sets, as the PropBank calls it. We actually, during this stage, we never saw the entire entries, only the grouped verb senses, which sometimes gave pretty bad results in polysemous verbs. When we now just open Engvalex anywhere and see a polysemous verb, sometimes it's really a mess and has to be continuously proofread and corrected during the annotation. And our ambition was to add morphosyntactic representations of the arguments to each verb We haven't done that yet, and we have to postpone it. Anyway, we have designed a formal description language to model the analytical subtrees that would be that would be corresponding to the arguments, and we have done a test annotation of about 400 row sets. In the picture, you can see it in our NGVALX as it looks now. The corpus preparation has been proceeding very, very well, or is completed actually. We have adjusted the tree editor, the annotation tool. We have added some English specific macros. We altered the scheme, and we preserved the original phrase structure view of Penn Tree Bank, because for us non-native speakers, it's very important to see the original annotation, how certain linguistic phenomena were assessed by native speakers. Then, as next step, we had to reunify our adjustments with the group working on the Czech annotation, because we want to have the people switch between the groups when necessary, and then it would be, of course, extremely inconvenient to have two sets of macros to learn. We have a nice adjustment of the T layer conversion now. At the beginning, the tectogrammatical trees coming out of the automatically processed analytical level were pretty poor, but we took our time and we added some rules to convert the trees so that they would be as annotator friendly as possible. So now it's not as much work with it as it was before. And we had to assure that the data would be stored in a reasonable way, that it would be safe, and that it never happens that two people annotate the same data unless inter-annotator agreement is measured. In September, we launched the routine annotation. Routine is still to be taken with some reservation. Now we have about 1,000 annotated trees. We still watch the inter-annotator agreement monthly, and the rate for November lies somewhere between 77% and 87%. We measure two things. Functor agreement means how many nodes have with the same ID have the same functor in all three annotator versions, and parent node agreement means whether all nodes have the same parent in all three versions, and we distinguish between parent ID and parent lemma. After each inter-annotator agreement test, we have a session with the annotators, and we go through the trees and identify the sources of systematic disagreements. This is the most interesting part of the work, of course. And we have basically, there are two types of disagreements we face. It's the former one is quite easy to handle. It's established grammar phenomena like raised objects, dummy do, syntactic things, which when we disagree, then it's usually because some of us has failed to identify a generally known phenomenon and just has to look it up and learn properly from any English syntax book. But they are the minor source of disagreement. The most problematic one are text phenomena, which have to be resolved arbitrarily, but all the annotators have to follow the same arbitrary solution. As an example, I can mention time specification. We had to agree whether it would be the number or the AM/PM, which would be the governing node, and which function would the Eastern Standard Time or Greenwich Mean Time get? So you see, it's really small things, but they affect the inter-annotator agreement very significantly. What we have to do as quickly as possible to get forward is that we have to complete the annotation manual in English for English. Hopefully, we have done that by the end of the year. Then we, of course, we work very hard with the correction of Angvalex, and we, to fulfill our rates, we have to speed up with the annotation to 500 trees annotator month. But of course, not at the cost of the inter-annotator agreement. This work is being funded from, partially funded by the grant agency of the Czech Republic, and this foundation ends in 2 years. So by that time, we want to have valency of nouns included, which probably will be resolved in the same way as the verbs. We will take nonbank and convert it in the same way. We want to have the amount of data annotated as was in on the first CD with the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank, which is about half of the PEN tree bank, and the annotation manual is inevitable to be refined and updated continuously, and we want to add the morphosyntactic form description in Angvalex. So, as you see, there's still a lot of work left, but certainly we are getting there. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah.
Can you go back to your slide 10?
Which one? 10. Oh, sorry.
So you were saying that you took the prop bank and then you converted it automatically to...
Well, we converted it into...
into the verb and the roles.
Yes. If you just think of the prop bank architecture, they have... A verb which has frame sets or role sets with arg numbers and then these specifiers. So first of all, we faced the problem that the labels were different and they were very different. And but the another problem was that they define frame in a slightly different way than us. So there was actually much more manual work than we would have wished, but we found it out in time. I haven't answered yet. I know that we split all role sets into example sentences and made them our frames. This was done automatically, and we assigned functors to their roles, at least actor and patient. This was pretty reliable, and then some free modifications. And then we had to manually re-merge the frames, because there was the main core of disagreement between the two systems. That's why it took a year. Oh, yeah. Look, the arguments, or as we have here, the frame slot fillers with the functors, they are tectogrammatical nodes, but their morphosyntactic representations can be seen as the nodes that the tectogrammatical node points to. As I had in the Peter had been playing the guitar. So if play could be the patient of this one, so you would have patient. And in the round brackets there would be written it should be a verb, and you can it's really a stupid example, but it always has to have a determiner or something like that, or if a frame is a phraseme, so you specify the lemma which has to be filled in on the surface. So actually, you just imagine analytical real surface syntax trees behind or just overlapping with the nodes. You just think of what the argument, actor, patient, which forms they have when they appear on the surface, which is allowed, what is allowed. But we haven't done that yet. Oh yeah. The prop bank role sets. Sometimes I think that they merge things that we would split. If you have a from another side, propping works quite much with syntactic alternations, and role sets sometimes gather both realizations of the alternations. Like you would probably have a causative and incoative alternation realizations in one role set, and this is something we would definitely split. We just follows from the definition of the frame. But it's not the rule, you know. We went through Levinian alternations, and we decided, okay, so this is what we would split. This is what we wouldn't split. And as there is no explicit information in prop bank which Levinian alternation is placed there, like you haven't marked it with this is incoative and this is transitive. The example sentences have some description, but it's informal. It's character data. So we couldn't get any support there. That's why we did it manually, or at least we tried, because it's very. We thought this was very valuable with your annotation that you did it consistently. So we only knew that we had to do it a different way, but keep just the spirit of it. You know, to merge our frames when we split your frame. The frame still remembers that it was that our two frames are your original frame one. About one half of them was, but we were not able to use it. At that time we were discussing it. The computer scientists just said no, it has to be simple and it has to be quick. So. So that's why. but I think that they were right.
Okay, so yeah, I had a question about the slide which just came up. I don't know if it came up by coincidence or whether you read my mind. But anyway, so the question is that these disagreements, isn't there an interaction between them? How do you measure it? So for example, if there is disagreement on the parent node, isn't it automatic that there will be some disagreement about the function? Because after all, it's not like you label them independently, or is there a...
Well, I think that it's implicit.
So in other words, can you break them up? Can you say that if you told the people that this is the parent node, then would they agree on the function more, or...?
You mean that if they... If they don't have the parent node right, they can't get the functor right. Yeah, I think that it's the way it works. Yeah.
Okay, so in some sense, I should read it as conditional on the parent node being in agreement. You agree on the functor so many percent of the time, or are they just two independent measures?
I think they are measured independently.
Okay, so
and You know, now I have to hide for your questions because I'm the linguistic, I'm the linguist there, and actually I just know that these numbers have to be as high as possible, and that this is what we try. And
I didn't do it, but I think these are independent in the sense that they are measured on the same data.
But you just count.
So if we do what you suggested, that we would give two people the correct structure and ask them for the functor assignment, it would be more like, you know, the difference subtracted from 100. Because typically when you tell them what the structure is, then there is much less choice what the function is. And actually with each change of the structure, the functor changes.
Mm. Yeah, but
so they cannot be, I think they could be better than the structure, but just slightly, right, just by chance. So you know, it's not a big difference between the functor and the structure, which is actually good. Because once we improve the structure, the functor assignment will go up almost automatically as well.
Okay, then I have two very related questions. One of them is very short. So at a sentence level, what fraction of sentences do you have to be totally agreed? Close to zero?
Yeah.
Because a sentence would have what, six or eight?
In Wall Street Journal, I think it's 14 words per sentence.
Right, but let's say you get rid of the function words, you left about 8 of them.
Right.
So that's what you're counting.
Yes. We should measure that as well. It will be very low numbers, but then, as you know, once this number is improved, then the number of sentences who are correct go up dramatically, because you get from 0 to 20% quicker, but I have no idea. I mean, we will have to try to measure that.
Yeah, and I guess a related question is, where are the disagreements? Are there particular types of dependencies where there is disagreement or particular types of functors?
Well, I can tell you about at least one very nasty chapter. It's restrictive attributes in the English data. The basis is the work is based on Czech, or the theory is based on Czech, and we don't have much compounds in Czech, which is not the case in English. And now we are facing it. There are many attributes which are formed by nouns, like power plant. You won't have that in Czech. We could easily increase our inter-annotator agreement by saying all these compounds or all these noun nominative attributes are RSTR, restrictive attributes, and now we are just on the safe side. But we decided not to do that because we would lose very much information, which is important for machine translation. If you don't have the info, that's functor assignment.
It looks like your problem is in the dependency, that given the right dependency, you don't have that much disagreement.
No. You can't say that. So, I even have to say that sometimes the rate of the annotator agreement in parent node is low, although the trees are right. It decreases your agreement when you have coordination, and you just hang some common modification common to both when the annotators disagree on which side, for example. So principally it's both right, but it sinks the agreement.
Is power plant the same thing as brick wall?
Well, it isn't. And that's why we try to distinguish that.
And what would you call power plant then? Wall is restrictive, no question. It's a wall.
Well, power plant, I think it's it would be a reg, the regard functor. We have a long table, a chart with typical cases, and then the discussions we have don't have much with linguistics in common. You know, we just agree on, is power plant the same as plant manager? No, it isn't. So, or is personal vehicle the same as power plant? No, it isn't. Let's have it as another type. But then, you know, so we play with cognitive groups, and something we sometimes we really make very arbitrary decisions, which then have to be kept without being defined in a proper way. Thank you.